Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Welcome, folks, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report, thehagmanreport.com. That's where to find us. We have two different shows. One in the morning, my show at 9 o'clock, 9 to 10 Eastern, 6 to 7 Western, West Coast time, Pacific time. And, of course, Joe and John from 2 to 3 that supplement this show. This show is our mainstay, and tonight we've got a fantastic program planned out for you. You know, it's amazing to look at the headlines and how quickly they change. You've got North Korea, you've got a situation there, you've got the claim that we're going to be talking about. This is an important situation about Donald Trump working with Fox News on DNC staffer story, the Seth Rich story. At the bottom of the second hour, we're gonna have Peter Chalka come in. He's been on top of this since the first moment this broke, and he's gonna explain because he knows what's behind this. Trust me when I tell you, if anyone knows, he does. This is absolutely incredible. What's taking place here behind the scenes in the attempt to delegitimize not just, they're going for broke. The deep state is going for broke across the board. Delegitimize Donald Trump, delegitimize anyone associated with him, those people in power, go after the conservatives in the media, go after the new media, and they've taken out all the stops. This is a war like I've never seen. I thought it was going to be bad in January when I started to pay, to really assess what was taking place. No clue. Admittedly, I had no clue. I've got to tell you, it angers me when I look at the, what's taking place. I'm angered by what's taking place and the fact that so many people are buying it and so many people are not seeing what's really propelling the false narratives. Real quick, how many people, show of hands out here in our vast studio audience, how many people listen to our day show, my show, Joe's show? Show of hands in our vast studio audience. Okay, lady, thanks. Put your paw down, lady. Theo, you put your paw down too. Lady of the studio dog, she put both paws up. Thinking she can count for two. Oh, I know. I'm joking around. Sometimes you just have to stop and really smell the roses, watch the dogs play, and get really just live life. You know, you can't have such a narrow focus that you just go crazy. But seriously, I hope you do tune into the new shows. We are expanding our venue, and of course, Joe and John are doing a great job. I like to think I am, although. Since I signed the paychecks, how can you tell, right? So, WND Superstore, go there. Check out the graphic on the top. Look at that graphic.
It is awesome.
Isn't that really a neat graphic up there?
It is awesome.
See, people listening via Global Star and BTR can't see it. If you go to HagmanReport.com, look at that graphic. WND Superstore and Hagman Report together. Use promo code Hagman. Click on all you got to do. Oh yeah! Look, anything at WND Superstore, any of the books, the magazines, anything. The used shirts. I'm kidding.
But used
shirts. Yeah, really. I did kind of peruse their. I clicked on the link and I perused the store. I didn't realize that. Wow. Yeah. It's going to type in, used car, see if I could buy a car from them. And seriously, it's great. It's fantastic. WND Superstore, promo code Hagman. click on the link on HagmanReport.com. All right. We got a great show for you lined up. Go ahead, Joe.
Yes, we do. And with us now is Brandon House, WorldviewWeekend.com. WorldviewWeekend.com. He's going to be with us for the first hour. We're going to talk about a number of things pertaining to Islamophobia, interfaith dialogue, and a number of other important aspects of Islam and Christianity. Brandon, welcome back to the show.
Hey, good to be with you guys. Thank you.
Well, thanks for coming on, my brother. Now, let's start at the beginning of... Well, I'll tell you what, you pick the starting point in this case. Brandon, go.
Well, I found a quote this week. A friend of mine in California, my editor Jill, who I know is watching, sent me the book that I said I wanted to get. She heard on my radio show I wanted it, so she had it drop shipped to me, and I've read it. Building a Bridge Building to Nowhere. It's by Stephen Kaufman, The Catholic Church's Case Study in Interfaith Delusion. This is an excellent book. But listen to this, because this whole thing we talked about with James White, a minister who really, quite frankly, isn't that well known. He's only, you know, really followed within Calvinist circles, Reformed theology circles. But outside of that, he's really not that well known. But it's shocking. It's a big deal. Not because he's well known. It's a big deal because of who he is well known with. The people that follow him. That's what makes this a big deal. We know the mainline liberals. We know the neo-evangelicals. We know the social justice crowd are all about interfaith dialogue. We didn't think the folks that follow the Reformed theology, people who maybe are Calvinist, because those are loaded terms that can mean a lot of things, but they tend to be people who are rather theologically conservative. They tend to be people who are not for ecumenicalism and pluralism and things like that. So when this guy comes to our town and sits with a jihadi imam, a Jew-hating, Holocaust-denying, Hitler-defending, you know, terrorist-minting jihadi, and I believe that's what he is based on all my research, and in fact, if you want to see the research I've done on all this, this is my research on just this one issue.
That looks like, hey, that looks like my desk. You know, I love it. I love it, man. You're old school. That's great.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Old school when it comes to the research. So, this is a big deal. And what's really shocking is even while I was waiting to go on air here, I just tweeted out on our Twitter handle is @WVWOnline, @WVWOnline, stands for Worldview Weekend. I just tweeted out a screenshot of, shockingly, we knew he was defending it to a degree, but now even the executive director of John MacArthur's Grace to You has said he doesn't think it's unbiblical what James White has done. Now, again, much of your audience has no clue who James White is, but just understand why this matters. People that have traditionally held the line theologically within evangelicalism are now defending pragmatically, for other reasons, good old boy club, whatever reason they have, something that they would not have tolerated before, and it shows us, I believe, how late the hour is. But they're also, unfortunately, people that you never thought would become Islamic dupes or, dare I say, useful idiots for Islam are. Now, again, when I use the term useful idiots, some people, they get upset. They don't like that. They think that's not nice. That's not professional. I'm calling people names. No, that's a historical term. It's a classification of people. So please understand what it means and what it doesn't mean. But listen to this, what I found in this book, Bridge Building to Nowhere. It talks about a guy by the name of Siad Qutb. Siad Qutb. He was a Muslim Brotherhood guy out of Egypt. They finally hung the guy because he was involved in assassination attempts and other things over there in Egypt years ago. But here's what he said. The chasm between Islam and the society of unbelievers is great. Society of unbelievers, that'd be your non-Muslims. The chasm between Islam and the society of unbelievers is great, and a bridge is not to be built across it so that people on the two sides may mix with each other, but only so that the people of the society of unbelievers may come over to Islam, end quote. So, guys, what is the purpose of interfaith dialogue? It is to convert people to Islam. Yet what are we hearing from the Reformed, the Bible, Reformed, Calvinist churches? This is evangelism. No, this is not biblical evangelism. This is not what Paul was doing on Mars Hill in the book of Acts. He was not seeking common ground. this is not at all. People are taking it out of context. People that you thought knew how to study the Bible in context apparently don't. But guys, this is a whole new world, and that the Muslims and the Islamic Society of North America, Muslim Brotherhood, they all must be rejoicing, guys, because now they have gotten a whole new conservative, theologically conservative realm to defend Islam. And that's what they're doing. They maybe don't know it, but that's what they're doing.
And Brennan, last year in January, and you said what you said was right, that this interfaith dialogue is far-reaching through all denominations of Christianity. Even the Pope last year stressed interfaith unity, saying we are all children of God, in the Pope's first ever video message on his monthly prayer back in January of 2016. He talked about the importance of interreligious dialogue. Even though people have beliefs in different faiths and traditions, they say that they have stuff in common, such as the figure of God and love. And he goes on to say, many think differently, feel differently, seeking God or meeting God in different ways. And he goes on to, you know, back up what he said, and is basically saying that there are, you don't have to be a believer in Jesus Christ in order to find God. And this is, many people, many pastors even, we see, say that there's no wrong faith, there's no wrong way, that, each culture and individual region or religion, finds God in their own way, basically negating what Jesus did on the cross and turning away from their own faith. It's very troubling. But there are many excuses why people do this. They say for understanding, for educational purposes, and sometimes, for conversion.
And other times because they're idiots. Okay. And by the way, Brandon, we're going to forego the bottom of the hour break, so you got the full hour.
All right. Well, the Pope has said many crazy things. Pope Francis, the first ever Jesuit Pope. That's a big deal. I have a whole program on my website, several hours on the Jesuits and what they're all about at worldviewtimes.com. But, you got Pope Francis, you got Pope Benedict, they're doing all these kind of things. So you have the Catholic world, and I try to separate, the Catholicism and then the Protestant world, because Protestant, that comes from the word protest, which really came out of the Reformation. So you have the Catholic world doing what they're doing. You have the Protestant world, the evangelical world doing what they're doing. But what's very interesting is there are many conservative Catholics. Now, I would not agree with them theologically. I would not agree with them on many issues of doctrine that the Catholic Church teaches. But we are in agreement on this issue of Islam, others as well, abortion, other things. But we are in agreement on this issue of Islam. And many of the best books exposing the Islamic and the Marxist agenda, the Muslims and Marxists working together, are written by conservative Catholics. And many of the conservative Catholics are now going against the left wing within the Catholic Church. So I understand what it is they're doing. Here we are in the Protestant world, I am, the evangelical world, if you will, and we have battled the liberals. They started out, with things a few years ago. One example would be the Yale document that said that Muslims and Christians all worship the same God. Wrong. Muslims don't believe in the Trinity. Muslims don't believe in the deity of Christ. Muslims don't believe in a personal God. Muslims don't believe that their God, their fake God, false God, Allah, would ever take on human form. So they don't even believe that. They just say this so that the ignorant so-called Christians will sign on to the Yale document, which is, again, put forth by them, and then all these neo-evangelicals came forward and signed the Yale document that says Muslims and Christians worship the same God. All you got to do is put it into a search engine, the Yale document, a common word, you'll find it, you'll find all the signatories. Well, among them, you have people like Rick Warren, you have Leith Anderson of the National Association of Evangelicals, Bill Hybels out of Chicago, you have lots of people, some folks from Fuller Theological Seminary, which went liberal many years ago. But we've never seen people from the Reformed, conservative Reformed camp of Baptist Reformed churches defending interfaith dialogue as they have with James White. And it's created a huge deal within evangelicalism. And frankly, it's exposing a lot of people. And again, I think the most shocking is to think that someone like John MacArthur, who has opposed evangelicals and Catholics together, that his executive director of Grace to You, Phil Johnson, has been so voracious in his defense of something that even his own boss has preached again, but yet we can't find anything where his boss is coming out and speaking out against Phil and correcting Phil. So what it's doing is it's setting a very dangerous precedent, I believe, for many people. And already in the last few weeks, I've seen a very well-known Christian writer who I've known for many years, known personally for many years. His son just tweeted a picture of him in a mosque in an interfaith dialogue and was saying, look at me in this interfaith dialogue. I think the floodgates are now open, and these guys have no clue what they're doing. But tonight, if you want to go down the list of questions I've sent you, I will lay it out for you, because let me tell you, so-called conservative evangelicals are helping to surrender America to Muslims. And if you want to start shooting the questions at me, I'll start answering them.
Sure. One of the first questions, you talk about the book called Interfaith Dialogue, A Guide for Muslims. And in that book, it talks about the Muslim agenda and what helped to fund the book and what are some of the significant issues in the book. So this book, Interfaith Dialogue,
follow the money
for Muslims.
Yeah, follow the money on this, too. In the larger sense, too, Brandon, the money is an issue to me.
Well, here is a copy of a few pages. You can get the book if you want to bother reading it. Interfaith Dialogue, A Guide for Muslims. And we go right away to the acknowledgement section to see who is a part of this. And it says, this guide is sponsored by the Conflict Transformation Grant. Well, that's interesting. The Conflict Transformation Grant. I want to focus on that word for a minute, transformation. Because what people like Rick Warren and Bill Hybels and many others have done with their seeker-sensitive church model is they've taken traditional churches and they've put them into transition until they've completely transformed it. Traditional, transitional, transformational. And they turn their traditional churches into seeker-sensitive, social justice, social gospel, liberal churches that are now concerned about letting all the immigrants come in without any vetting, global warming, what would Jesus drive, redistribution of wealth, and every other neo-Marxist idea that comes down the pike. Well, again, these are now churches that have been completely transformed. But they weren't like that always. They started out traditional, then they were in transition. And people were like, something's changing. Our church is changing. Not the church my father or grandfather helped to found. Traditional, transitional, and then pretty soon completely transformed. Now that is exactly what's going on to the country. Traditional, then we're in transition until the country has been completely transformed. By the way, it's by some of the same people. It's by some of the same players. It's for some of the same purposes, which is what I wrote in my book, Religious Trojan Horse, and the follow-up book, The Coming Religious Reich. Reich meaning empire or kingdom. We're going to get a global empire, and it's going to be about 58 miles south of Baghdad in Babylon, and it'll be based on a false religious system, an economic system, and a political system. So notice that this is put out by people involved in conflict transformation. Oh yeah, remember when Barack Obama said he wanted to fundamentally transform America? Well, this is how they're doing it, with neo-Marxists and Muslims working together. So the guide is sponsored by the Conflict Transformation Grant, an interfaith project co-managed by Fuller Seminary. Now this is where Rick Warren graduated from. Shockingly, no. This is also where James White graduated from. Fuller Seminary. Has anything good come out of Fuller? I don't think so. I think they pretty much went south within days of opening their doors. It was also sponsored by the Islamic Society of North America. That's a front group for Muslim Brotherhood, which is tied to Hamas. And of course, John Gondola and Chris Gobitz and all these guys could tell you a lot about that. I know they're regular guests of yours. So that's who's a part of this. And who helped fund it? Follow the money. It said that there was a special contribution by Fuller. It says that the Center for Interfaith Studies and Dialogue recognized the special contributions of the Conflict Transformation Project that is led by Fuller Theological Seminary. Without their financial support, this project could not have been realized. So we have exactly what the globalists have sought to do for a long time. They're using religion. Don't forget the Fabian window. By the way, I believe Rick Warren is pretty well similar to a Fabian. We would maybe call him a communitarian. Socialism mixed with capitalism. He was mentored by Peter Drucker. We have Peter Drucker on video saying he was a communitarian, mixing socialism with capitalism. Very much like Fabian socialism that came out of London. The Labour Party came out of the Fabian Social Society. Tony Blair is a Fabian socialist. He unveiled the Fabian window a few years ago after it was stolen and reappeared. The Fabian window was created by George Bernard Shaw in 1910. It has two men banging on a hot earth or globe that's in crisis. Remold it nearer to the heart's desire is what it says in the stained glass window. A crisis that allows them to remold the world. And then above the world that's on fire is a wolf in sheep's clothing. The Fabians have always said they would use religion to bring about globalism. And what is Tony Blair doing? Running the Tony Blair Faith Foundation that seeks to bring the religions of the world together as one. Rick Warren brought Tony Blair to his church a few years ago, had a long dialogue with him, gave him an award. Tony Blair, again, Fabian socialist. Rick Warren, graduate of Fuller Seminary, and says he was mentored by communitarian Peter Drucker. So you see the role religion's playing in all this, guys?
Absolutely. And it's very disturbing. I know I've heard some of the Rick Warren stuff before, but some of the other... it is disturbing to see so many people being involved in this, and it keeps bringing up the same question to me. What do these people hope to accomplish?
I think he just said it. And correct me if I'm wrong. Fabian socialism, the utopian road to hell. Is what we're looking at here. That's the objective.
Many don't think they're building the kingdom of God on earth. John Rockefeller Jr., I quote in my book, Religious Trojan Horse, said that he wished that we could see religion the way it should be, all the great religions working together to literally create the kingdom of God on earth. I quote that in my book, Religious Trojan Horse. And a shameless plug, they can get it at worldviewtimes.com in our bookstore at worldviewtimes.com.
I highly recommend it. Please say the title again and tell them where to get it again. I highly recommend this.
Thank you. Religious Trojan Horse. It's a, what is it? It's like 600 pages book, Religious Trojan Horse. And then the follow-up to it is The Coming Religious Reich. Both of them at Worldview. Just go to worldviewtimes.com. But, yeah, that's what John Rockefeller Jr. said. They're literally building the kingdom of God on earth. No, they're not. Jesus said in John, I think it was chapter 18, that his kingdom was not of this world. It was not from here. That if it were, he would fight to keep his... and his disciples would fight to keep him from being turned over to the Jews. No, God will bring his kingdom, Daniel 2. It will crush Satan's kingdom, which Satan will get a kingdom. That's the religious Reich that will come. God's kingdom will come, Daniel 2. It will crush Satan's kingdom, and of God's kingdom there'll be no end. So you're right. It is a world religious government they're seeking. In fact, Revelation chapter 17, verse 1 speaks of the great harlot that sits on many waters. That's a world-dominant false church. Then John is carried away in the spirit, and he sees a woman sitting on a scarlet beast. That's Babylon. So you have a false dominant church that helps to bring about a partnership with Babylon, an economic, political system. So you have religion, and then economics, and politics. And that great harlot sits on many waters. That's a metaphor for the world. And so that helps usher in. So understand, this false religious system we're talking about, and interfaith dialogue is helping to build that, and evangelicals, so-called Bible-believing conservative evangelicals defending it, whether they know it or not, are helping to build the great harlot of Revelation 17:1 that is used alongside the religious and or the economic and political system of Babylon. Then in Revelation chapter 17, verse 15, Babylon, that great city, she's a harlot. She destroys what is called the great harlot, the false church, in Revelation 17, verse 1. Destroys her, eats of her, devours of her flesh. That makes Babylon now the great harlot, and the whole system now is in one. Religious, economical, and political in one system. 58 miles south of Baghdad. By the way, in my book, The Coming Religious Reich, I quote Army War College experts saying we should move the United Nations, once the region is stabilized, to literal Babylon. That's where it all started, Genesis 10 and Genesis 11. The mother of harlots, it says in Revelation 17. Why is she the mother of harlots? Because it all started over in Genesis 10 at the Tower of Babel. That's where God confused their language. They took their false mother-son occult system all over the world, different languages, different names. But now it's all coming back together from Genesis 10 back to Revelation 17. Her children are coming home, Babylon. She's the mother of harlots. She's the mother of all the false world religious systems. So you've got to get all these religions now to come together as one. And let me tell you, by the way, this guy that this Syed Qutb, who said that the Islamic Interfaith Dialogue Bridge is a one-way bridge, he, by the way, is considered one of the leading scholars of the Muslims. But let me tell you who also sponsored this little booklet with Fuller Theological Seminary. Let me grab this. This little book, Interfaith Dialogue, A Guide for Muslims, it actually was sponsored also by the International Institute of Islamic Thought. The International Institute of Islamic Thought helped sponsor it. Now, who are they? Well, they were founded by a guy named Anwar Ibrahim, who likes to present himself as a moderate, like most of them do, but he's a total Islamist jihadist. But let me tell you a little bit about the International Institute of Islamic Thought. Have you guys ever heard the phrase Islamophobia? Have you ever heard that phrase?
Oh, all the time. Most recently, it was used by the attorney of the Awan, Amir in Awan, for saying his prosecution and all this publicity he's getting from, you know, blackmailing Congress is just because of Islamophobia.
Yeah. And you know how many of the Muslims call me an Islamophobic? You know how many of the neo-Marxists call me an Islamophobic? But guess what? Now, so-called conservative, Bible-believing conservative pastors and elders are now writing and tweeting and Facebooking that I'm an Islamophobic. Usama Dakdok, Sharam Hadian, Sharam being a former Muslim, Usama being from Egypt, an expert on Islam, that when we broke this story, and I broke the story and brought them to our TV studio, and we produced these four shows explaining who James White's sitting with, one of the biggest jihadi promoting imams in America, trying to find common ground, saying, you know, where can we agree? How can we find where we agree? Where can we disagree? Where do we agree? You can't find common ground with jihadists. Saying he senses a kindred spirit with this jihadi imam, saying he mentored him in parts of Islam, saying he wants Yasser Qadi, this jihadi imam who we have preaching about how you can take the property of the Christians and the Jews during jihad in their life. He sits with him and says, would you make a video so my community can better understand Islam? His community being, I guess, Reformed, Calvinist, Bible, Baptist churches. I mean, ridiculous. Really? Would you ask a Satanist to make a video to teach the church about Satanism? Of course not. But who helped sponsor this book on interfaith dialogue? Well, Fuller Seminary, which again is where James White reportedly graduated from, according to his own website, and Rick Warren, among others, but also the International Institute of Islamic Thought, which, by the way, they are the ones, according to discoverthenetworks.org, they are the ones that coined the phrase in the early 90s, Islamophobia. Why did they do this? Well, according to a former International Institute of Islamic Thought member by the name of Abdul Rahman Mohammed, who rejected the theology and ideology of this group and resigned, said this. He said that the, quote, the original intent behind the concept of Islamophobia is this, quote, this lonesome term is nothing more than a thought eliminating or thought terminating cliche. Conceived in the bowels of Muslim think tanks for the purpose of beating down critics, end quote. And in other words, folks, Islamophobia is a term that is used to paint someone as a racist, a bigot, so they sit down and they shut up. Now, the so-called Bible, some of the people in the so-called conservative Bible ring are now saying we're Islamophobic, and they're not saying as much that we're racist, although they're very close to that. They're saying, well, we don't have a love for the Muslims. We don't want to reach the Muslim for Jesus. We want the Muslims to go to hell. We have such hatred for the Muslims. We have a political gospel. Now, this is what so-called conservative Christian pastors and elders that follow and are defending James White are saying to us on social media. We have the screenshots. You know what they're really saying? You're an Islamophobic. You know what they're really doing, I believe? They're now defending Islam. They're now defending Islam, yet they don't even know that. But did you know that was the goal, according to the 1991 Muslim Brotherhood Explanatory Memorandum? It was written in 1991 by Muslim Brotherhood, a group that dates all the way back to the early 1900s out of Egypt and helped Hitler with a final solution. Their 1991 memorandum said that they would get Americans to destroy their own miserable house with their own hands. And what they said is they would co-opt sheriffs, chief of police, pastors, religious leaders through interfaith dialogue to stop the criticism, but then get these people who had bought the lie of interfaith dialogue to defend Islam.
Which I just want to throw in there, the memorandum the document you talked about, written in 91, discovered in 92 during the Holy Land Foundation raid, is connected to the Muslim Brotherhood and CARE, the unindicted co-conspirator of the Holy Land Foundation raid, the Council on American Islamic Relations, which had, until Donald Trump got in the White House, unfettered access to the White House via the car dinners and such. Go ahead, sir.
And so what was their goal? Their goal was to use interfaith dialogue to get Americans to defend Islam. What do we see now? Not only are Americans defending Islam, we now have so-called Bible conservative pastors and elders and churchmen defending Islam. Now, they would say, no, we're defending the gospel. We're defending our friend who's involved in an interfaith dialogue because he loves Jesus and he loves the Muslim. This is not how you reach them. This is a clear violation of 2 John 9 through 11, Romans 16, 17, Ephesians 5, 11. I could give you all kinds of scriptures. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 17. This is not what Paul was doing on Mars Hill, despite what they will tell you. Paul was not seeking common ground with them. He was not seeking where he agreed with the Stoics or the New Agers or the atheists of his day. Not at all. Totally different than going out and preaching the gospel in the public realm. He did not bring in the wolves among the sheep. You'll see nowhere where the apostles were bringing in false teachers in the little New Testament churches that were being birthed and giving a dialogue setting for wolves, period. But these people don't realize, by defending the interfaith dialogue, by defending what James White and others are doing in these things, they're ultimately, I believe, defending Islam. Because what they're doing is they're painting people like me and others who speak truth as haters, bigots. We don't love the Muslim. We don't want to reach the Muslim for Christ. And now, how many people do you think are going to be ready to step forward and step out and speak the truth about Islam? Not many, because they see what has happened to myself and others who have done this on social media and blogs and programs and radio. Who would ever want to get out of the tall grass to try to warn Americans, to lift up a shout of warning to Americans? You're falling into a trap of interfaith dialogue that's one of the biggest ways for them to destroy our own country from within. In fact, again, remember, this little document is written in part with the help of people at Fuller Seminary and Islamic Society North America, which is Muslim Brotherhood, and the Islamic International Institute, which is Muslim Brotherhood. And look, listen to this. According to Muslim Brotherhood expert and journalist Ian Johnson, the International Institute of Islamic Trust was created for the purpose of serving as an Islamic think tank in supporting of spreading of political Islam. It can be also safely said that this group established in the U.S. was also part of the effort to create a channel to voice and spread Islamic doctrine to Muslim audiences around the world, be they in North America, Europe, or elsewhere. Now, this is really interesting. Listen to this. This group, the International Institute of Islamic Trust, which is promoting interfaith dialogue with groups like Fuller Seminary, said this: unlike the past, the civilizational forces contending in this country or in this century can reach and overtake anyone without invasion or military occupation of his land. In other words, they don't need a military to do this. They can subvert his mind, convert him to their worldview, neutralize and contain him as a puppet, whether he is aware of it or not. Well, I would contend that's what many of these so-called conservatives, Bible pastors, elders, churchmen are doing. They become puppets for Islam by defending interfaith dialogue. They go on to say, certainly these forces are contending with one another to dominate the world. That's their goal, world domination. And it is the decision of Muslims today whether Islam will be their victor tomorrow, whether Muslims will be the makers of history or merely the objects. Indeed, a civilizational battle now in progress in the world scene will not leave anyone unscathed. What they call it, guys? A civilizational battle. Who is helping to sponsor interfaith dialogue? This group that says we're going to help do this as part of Muslim Brotherhood to have Americans defending Islam. What do we see now? Our exposing of interfaith dialogue with a very prominent man within one small segment of evangelicalism. He's not that well known outside this little circle. It's quite small, quite frankly. Praise the Lord for that. But they're defending it, and it's a group of people that you would never thought would defend Islam, and now they're defending interfaith dialogue, which really means they're defending the tactic of Islam, which I think means they're defending Islam. Therefore, they're helping destroy our country, our miserable house, as they called it in the memorandum in 91, with their own hand.
Civilization jihad is
indeed,
and this is where, too, if I can just kind of stray a bit, This is where we see the red-green axis. This is where we see the marches, the women's marches, where you see the Muslims or the not just the women's marches, but the homosexual marches, where you see the alliance there, this unholy alliance that makes no sense.
You know what? You're right. Here is an article about a guy named Abu Battel. Abu Battel, I write about in my book Religious Trojan Horse. Abu Battel is a Muslim. He founded his interfaith dialogue in the basement in a basement in Chicago in 2002. Well, that's interesting because Barack Obama started out in the basement of a liberal Catholic church in their social justice department in the basement. Both of these guys started their movements in a basement in Chicago. He's a Muslim. He runs Interfaith Youth Corps. Obama appointed him to a major position in his administration. He's not only a Muslim, he's a Rhodes Scholar. He also admits that one of his disciples that he follows is neo-Marxist Saul Alinsky. He admits that. Saul Alinsky was a neo-Marxist who Hillary wrote her paper on at Wesley. He wanted her to come work for him, and she said no, and she went on and worked on Capitol Hill, I think, in the Watergate hearings. He, Saul Alinsky, in the original version, dedicated his book to Lucifer, the first rebel who sought to win his own kingdom. And yet this Abu Battel, a Muslim who has the Interfaith Youth Corps, worked with Barack Obama, has now put interfaith networks into 500 universities in America. 500. I asked my listening audience the other night to go and type whatever state they live in and put Maryland Interfaith Network, Minnesota Interfaith Network, Illinois Interfaith Network, California Interfaith Network, Maine Interfaith Interfaith Network, whatever it might be. Then maybe put in the cities and some of the big cities in your state, Chicago Interfaith Network, Dallas Interfaith Network, maybe Minneapolis Interfaith Network, Nashville Interfaith Network. And I asked them to put this back on our Facebook page at facebook.com/worldviewweekend. About 150 posts of all of these interfaith networks. Guess what they're doing, guys? They're bringing all the religious communities together in their state and big cities as neo-Marxist and Muslims and New Agers, and they're pushing global warming, earth worship, Gaia, Mother Earth. That's very interesting because that fits right in with the one world religious system of pantheism, all is God. Panentheism, God is in all. The worship of earth, the worship of Mother Earth, Gaia earth worship, she, it, earth, that's God, kind of avatar. So now you have, as you're saying, the religious element with a neo-Marxist movement with the Muslims and all the other, quote, faith groups coming together in these interfaith networks to do the Saul Alinsky bidding to now say, what would Jesus drive? What would Jesus do? Well, Jesus was an immigrant, so says Russell Moore of the Southern Baptist Convention, the religious group he has there, the Ethics and Religious Committee out of the Southern Baptist Convention. He says on C-SPAN, we have on video, well, Jesus was an immigrant. We got to welcome the stranger in a foreign land. Well, he's using Leviticus 19 out of context. That has to do with the Jews not lording their being Jew over a non-Jew. If they worship the one true God and they're not circumcised, let them worship with you. That has nothing to do with immigration. But here you have a religious guy like Russell Moore, the Southern Baptist, largest Protestant denomination, pushing amnesty and working with Obama. And now you see all these groups pushing the bidding and saying, well, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus drive? So many people then sit down and they're quiet because now you're a bad Christian if you don't do this stuff. And who's pushing this agenda? The interfaith networks across this country. And so this is not just religious. This is political, it is economic, it is the three-legged stool of world government. But you're right. Here he is, Abu Battel, saying he was influenced as a Muslim who runs Interfaith Youth Corps by Saul Alinsky, the neo-Marxist. This is the red-green axis. You're absolutely right.
You know, we keep the red-green axis keeps coming up, with a number of guests that we have on for different subjects, whether it is, talking about immigration or the Islamic component that you're referencing, to all the way to what the Democratic Party has become as far as trying to overthrow this country and push it into a socialist/communist direction by subverting the laws in this country. And it's really interesting to see how these two groups work together and have a similar agenda, even though one's political and one's quasi, you know, religious political, that being Islam. But their effectiveness in being able to not only subvert the minds of the people, but their effectiveness in changing the laws of the land, or their attempts to, is very startling, and we need to take notice of this. Brandon, I know you uncovered 6 goals in your research that sum up what the goals of the interfaith dialogue are. Do you want to get into these?
Yes, please. Thank you. One would be to convert people to Islam, and we already saw Syed Qutb mention that the interfaith dialogue is a one-way bridge to bring people over to Islam. That's it. So number one would be to gain converts to Islam. Two would be a civilizational battle or a civilizational jihad, as we just heard from the quote by the International Institute of Islamic Thought. They're going to use interfaith dialogue and these things to have a civilizational battle, to get us to destroy our own country by our own hand from within, also as said by the Muslim Brotherhood Memorandum from 1991. So one is to convert people to Islam. Two is a civilizational jihad. Three is to stop the criticism of Islam, as I've already mentioned. You use the term Islamophobia, you paint people as racist, bigots, they don't really love Muslims, they don't want to reach Muslims for Jesus, you're a bad Christian. So it's to stop the criticism. Fourth, it would be to paint anyone that speaks truth about Islam as a hater. Anyone who speaks Islam, truth about Islam, as a hater. And then fifthly, it would be to set up the persecution of Christians. To set up the persecution of Christians and patriots. So now, in fact, Abu Battel, in this article that I dropped on the floor because I thought I was done with it, in this article, he says that there's really only about 1% of the population that are bringing about discrimination and a divide. 1% discriminate and divide, the 1%. So the 1% of Christians and patriots that speak the truth, really what's happening is interfaith dialogue is setting up the persecution for those people. There'll be persecution. So you start to go after these folks. You say, well, who are the fundamentalists? Who are the troublemakers? Who are the patriots? Who are the constitutionalists? Who are the real Bible-believing Christians that are keeping everybody from getting along? And so this sets up now the truth tellers to become the persecuted. And then finally, it would be to have Americans, as I said earlier, defending Islam. And that's exactly what we see happening. You now have Americans defending Islam because they don't want to be seen as a hater. They don't want to be seen as a bigot. They want to go along with the group consensus. They don't want to be a troublemaker. They don't want to be persecuted. So what do? They now defend Islam. This is how you destroy a country from within. And folks, sadly again, even conservative evangelical folks are coming out and saying, well, I don't think what James White did with that jihadi imam in that interfaith dialogue in Memphis, my town, is a problem. I don't think it's unbiblical. Again, would you have expected that from Phil Johnson, the executive director of Grace to You of John MacArthur? No, absolutely not. From a mainline church, a liberal church? Yeah. This again shows us how late the hour is, how uneducated people are, how many of these people are, I believe, intellectual simpletons. They don't understand the issues. They are, unfortunately, really doing great damage, I believe, to the true church, whether they know it or not or intend to or not. And this is very, very serious. And it's so serious that we've even got some folks that have been on our network that have been defending this because they're friends of James White, and we just cut some of them loose today because we are not going to have a network of people that cannot stand for truth. We are not a network that can be bought. We cannot be intimidated. We are not part of a good old boy club. You have built your audience the same way we have, being independent broadcasters. And if some of the broadcasters we carry on our network want to be friends with James White and defend what he has done, well, it's the undefendable. And if they cannot get in line with what is right, we will not permit them to harangue us, to intimidate us, to email us, to text us, to call us for weeks on end if they've done, trying to get us to be quiet because this is their friend. I'm sorry. We cannot be bought. So we booted a few of them today and let the word go forth. I will not sit down and give this country over to the Muslim Brotherhood that has killed 5 million Jews, 6 million non-Jews, I believe, by helping Hitler and the Final Solution through Al-Banna, the founder of Muslim Brotherhood, and the Grand Mufti of Israel, Al-Husseini, who got over 10,000 Bosnian Muslims and other Muslims to wear the Nazi uniform, including the swastika and the crescent moon and sword. I will not sit down for this. If I end up being the only program on my own network, so be it. I will not be intimidated. I will not be bought.
Coexistence is a lie from hell. Simple as that. It doesn't mean what you think it means, and even if it did mean that, it's not biblically possible. And I admire you. And really, this needs to be said. We need to have this discussion among all Christians, among all Christian conservatives, because what you are saying is so true. If we don't stop this right here and right now, we're gonna, the gutless wonders that are protesting about what you're saying and what we're saying, these spine, well, I you know what, that's giving them a little bit of a pass. If we don't put a stop to this, our children are going to be sold into slavery. Our children are going to be sold into bondage. They will be in bondage. Our country will not be our country. It'll be some Islamic caliphate, as they state that their objective is by 2050, and that hasn't changed.
I know a guy personally at a well-known Bible seminary that thinks the greatest threat to America is not Islam, but the Jewish bankers running the world. Now, I don't know what he's drinking or smoking, but this is a seminary professor at one of the most conservative Bible seminaries in America, thinking that the greatest threat to America is not Islam, that House and his friends have gone off the cliff. The greatest threat really is the Jewish bankers.
Never a day goes by, Brandon, that we don't get. It's the Jewish bankers. That narrative has run thin with me, and we get emails, we get letters, and it's a bunch of crap. But where does this come from?
Well, I think they're reading a lot of conspiracy stuff, and then they want to tell us that the CIA is behind all this, that the CIA is really the one doing this. You know, that's what Linda Sarsour, I believe I saw a tweet from her after she talked about jihad on Trump. I believe I saw her, Linda Sarsour, who, by the way, Yasser Qadhi, who James White was sitting with in Memphis here in my hometown, in his little interfaith dialogue, Yasser Qadhi was reportedly at that conference where she, Linda Sarsour, talked about jihad on Trump. And Linda Sarsour, I believe I saw a tweet from her that a few days later saying that underwear bomber, well, that was really all just a big old CIA thing. So now we have some people in the religious community, so-called conservative religious community, telling us that all of this world caliphate the Muslims are trying to build is really the CIA. Well, I do think we probably have some people that have converted to Islam inside the CIA and some other places, but they're part of the deep state, and that's what we're trying to clean out and preserve the country and defend the churches and keep the airwaves open and keep the pulpit from being shackled. But these people all think that this whole war of Islam coming against us and killing us is all fake actors, staged, not really happening, or a ploy of the CIA. I'm sorry to tell you, what is happening is a ploy of Satan, and it comes out of the Quran and the Hadith, and it fits right in with Bible prophecy, and eventually the Marxists and the Muslims will build a coalition, this coalition of Ezekiel 38 and 39, and they will move against Israel, and it's not the CIA doing it. It says in Ezekiel 38, God puts a hook in their mouth and draws them out. Why?
Yeah.
To
yeah.
judge them.
Yeah.
To judge them. And for what purpose? So that God, the whole world will know the Lord, that the Lord God is who he is. It wasn't the CIA. This is just the stupidity coming out of the so-called conservative Bible seminaries that are training our pastors, who then turn around and train the congregation. No wonder so much of evangelical conservative churches and groups are being compromised. I mean, we've got a lot of work ahead. But let me just tell you, this Abu Battelle, and I don't know, do you guys ever take breaks for commercials around here?
We because your information is so important, we skip the bottom of the hour break. But let me give your breath a rest or your voice a rest just for 1 second here, because I want to say this. That's not to say that the CIA did not weaponize Islam
right.
at certain times. Okay, however, you can't blame the Jews or the CIA on the proclivity of the Muslims to to kill. I wanted to say that, but
I agree with you. I agree with you. I mean, we have some things going on with the CIA with some little groups here, but to act like the CIA is orchestrating this whole huge global caliphate is ridiculous. See, most of these guys couldn't orchestrate their way out of a wet paper bag.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, this Abu Batel, I noticed who the Muslim running the Interfaith Youth Corps that worked with Obama, and now has put this on 500 college universities. Do you know that he's a Rhodes Scholar? And you know why that's so interesting is that Bill Clinton was a Rhodes Scholar. I think George Stephanopoulos was a Rhodes Scholar. The reason that's so interesting is, as I write in my book, The Coming Religious Reich, at Oxford in the late 1800s and early 1900s, there was a guy there by the name of John Ruskin. He died, I think, in 1919, and he had a swastika on his tomb. Now, that was before Hitler popularized it, because it's an occultic symbol. But John Ruskin taught two students, Cecil Rhodes and Sidney Webb. He taught many others, but he taught those two I want to mention. And he taught them about the need for world government out of Europe. A world government out of Europe. Well, Cecil Rhodes went on to be very wealthy through his Diamond De Beers mine and rewrote his will four or five times and said he wanted the money to go to send young people to Oxford to be trained in this worldview to become economists, teachers, politicians, journalists, broadcasters, and the like, and to use their positions to promote this idea of world government, globalism. And that was Cecil Rhodes. Well, Abu Batel, a Muslim who runs the Interfaith Youth Corps, is now using religion to do that. And remember, he said he was also greatly influenced by Saul Alinsky, the Marxist Muslim idea. And another guy that was there was Sidney Webb. Sidney Webb and his wife Beatrice Webb, with others, went on to found the Fabian Society, which gave birth to the Labor Party, which today you have Tony Blair of the Labor Party running his Tony Blair Faith Foundation, working to bring the religions of the world together as one. So isn't that interesting that Abu Batel, a Muslim and Rhodes Scholar, is now doing exactly what you would think, helping, I believe, to build a one-world religious system through, as he calls it, religious pluralism. All religions are equal. Now, I don't think that's really going to work out too well. At the end of the day, the Muslims, I think, are going to try to be in charge. Other people are going to try to be in charge. But the Bible tells us, if you believe in the Bible, that there will be a one-world religious system, and it will create a world-dominant church called the Great Harlot, as I said earlier, Revelation 17, verse 1. So I find it very interesting when you start realizing who the people are. And don't forget that Carol Quigley wrote about this. He wrote about Cecil Rhodes and these guys. And they definitely wanted a world government out of Europe. Well, the Bible tells us in Daniel, Ezekiel, Revelation, all the evidence is there. We will end up with a Eurocentric world government. So part of me is really excited to be alive right now to watch all this happening. But the other part of me is warning the church and warning Americans that the persecution that's coming will not only be at the hands of the neo-Marxists and the Muslims, but it'll be at the hand of the mainline liberal churches and even at the hand of so-called conservative Bible-believing Christians, so-called. I don't know if they're tares among the wheat, goats among the sheep. We'll let the Lord sort that out. But we had a self-described Christian and homeschool mom admit that she emailed a Muslim apologist overseas who's been writing about me. She emailed him to tell him what she thought of me and what she says some of her other religious friends think of me. And that Muslim overseas used it to write an article and say, even so-called conservative Christians in America disagree with Brandon House and his friends exposing interfaith dialogue with James White. Now think about that. The Muslims are now using the emails from a self-described homeschool mom, Christian, so-called Christian homeschool mom, to persecute, soft persecution, denigrate, ridicule me and other Christians taking a stand. Why would this supposed homeschool Christian mom do this? We have a Sharia hotline that's now been set up in Minneapolis to supposedly report people. You will be shocked when that day comes when people you go to church with are turning you in. But believe me, I've seen the vile, disgusting insults, attacks on our ministry and me personally by people that I will look them up, and they supposedly attend very conservative Bible churches, Reformed Bible churches, Reformed Baptist churches, work at conservative ministries. I don't think for one minute, I don't doubt for one minute, in my opinion, some of these people, if they had the chance to turn us over to the police in a police state, their vile, disgusting worldview and ideas would allow them to do that. And that's what I'm warning the church about. Be very careful who you trust going forward.
Absolutely. It's coming, and you got 2 minutes or about a minute and a half left. 1 minute left.
Brandon, with 1 minute we have left, I want to ask you this question, because this is very relevant. What are you hearing about MS-13 gangs working with Islamic terrorists?
Well, some of our intelligence sources are telling us the MS-13 gangs are working with ISIS to bring them over and set them up here in the U.S., as well as ICE, possibly the Islamic Revolutionary Guard, often called the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. That's the wrong name. It's the Islamic Revolutionary Guard. They're far bigger than ISIS, and there is a word that there are already Iranian and Islamic Revolutionary Guard special forces here in the U.S. They likely shot out the coolant system of a transmission subplant substation in Southern
California. Yeah.
Real quick, Brandon, but I don't believe that the ISIS and the Islamic terrorists want anything to do with drug dealing. Would the purposes just be for chaos
they're helping to make money on the drug dealing now too.
Right.
They're making $4 to $5 million a day on oil, drugs, kidnapping, ransom. So they're also using the drug cartel, and they're paying for some of their tunnels from Mexico into California, Mexico into Arizona, Mexico into Texas. They'll pay for their very elaborate and concrete structures, I mean good structures, for running drugs, and then they'll use it to run arms through to bring armament into America and arm up these mosques in America.
Okay.
You are the man. Brandon House, Worldview Weekend. Thank you. You blew through an hour. Incredible. We could go on for another 6 or 7 hours. Thank you so much for checking in.
Thank you.
All right. Folks, network break, when we'll be back. Stay with us. Greenovative. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. What Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the GMAG Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right, you need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water, but a bang, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super GMAG Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available, anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night. Go to greeninnovative.com. That's greeninnovative.com. Folks, in these uncertain times, it just makes sense to have a sustainable backup method for accomplishing one of life's most important tasks, that's preparing food. This is the way to go. There is nothing better than a Minuteman rocket stove from MinutemanStove.com. We all need a way to cook and a method to process water. I mean, think about it. Think about the many things that could happen to you. A Minuteman rocket stove can provide your family or group the perfect solution. It's small, lightweight, wood-burning, and every bit as powerful as a kitchen stove. It's smokeless, fully self-contained for clean storage and transport. Because it's so efficient, it cuts down on your wood gathering and processing chores to a tenth what would be required if cooking the old-fashioned way over an open fire. So don't rely on gas or fuel stoves. Prepare your family. Prepare for yourself. Order a Minuteman rocket stove today. It's going to make bad times much better. Folks, MinutemanStove.com. MinutemanStove.com. Need I say more?
You should have a Minuteman, the survival stove in an ammo can. For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com, PreciousTimberProfits.com.